Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 to 13. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as is the covenant of which he is a mediator, is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after the time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Thank you.
That's it. As they say, wired for sound. Right. Are you all ready for Christmas?
No, yes.
It's hectic, isn't it? But today, I want us to consider things about Jesus. And as you consider them, apply them to yourself and take the scriptures for yourself. For example, Christ is our high priest. And Hebrews 4:14 says this, doesn't it? "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." We have a great high priest. That is yours. If you know Jesus, you can say, "He is my high priest." And you can rejoice. And not only that, Christ represents us, as we've heard earlier today. We have, as Hebrews says again, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Are you infirm? Have you got something wrong with you? Jesus is touched by that. And you can say, "Lord, you are touched by my infirmities." It's something positive. And also we can remember, again from Hebrews. You know, Hebrews is a wonderful book to read and think about what the Lord has done and what you can take for yourself from this. But we have Jesus who hasn't entered into holy places made with hands, which was the tabernacle in those days, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is appearing in the presence of God for you. For me, you think about that, that is wonderful. It's for us. And as we heard in the reading, Jesus has made a new covenant for us, hasn't it? As the Lord said there in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." Do you realize that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it's written, "Cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus has been born and he has been made a curse for you. You don't bear it. And because of that, the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's Galatians 3:13-14. Take it for yourself. And another wonderful verse is, "But Christ has, by his own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Do you know, Jesus has entered the presence of God through his blood, and you have obtained eternal redemption. Eternal. Not a minute, or 2 hours, or a little bit. Eternal redemption through his blood. So what does his death achieve? Well, it reveals, first of all, that the Father, as being just and justifier of those who believe on Christ. Now, what does this mean? Well, Romans 3:26 says this, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus." The Father has been just in dealing with sin, because he's placed it on Christ, and everything that was unholy has been dealt with, because God is a holy God. And because he has been righteous in judging sin correctly, the soul that sins must die, Jesus died. And because of that, because people believe, and if you believe on the Lord Jesus, then the Lord will declare you righteous if you believe on Christ. And another wonderful thing, again from Hebrews, is that Jesus has victory over him that has the power of death. That through the death, Jesus' death, he might bring to naught him that has the power of death, that is the devil. To bring to naught. Oh, we have the victory there. If you're feeling that, you know, you're troubled with problems and things like that, and you think that Satan is getting at you, you can turn around and say, "Now look at the cross, because that was done for me." We have the victory in Christ. He brings to naught that. And as I was again thinking this morning about it, we're thinking that it's his blood that has been shed. His blood. And there is life in the blood. We're told that, aren't we? Not, the Old Testament said to people, "You don't drink the blood, because the life is in the blood." We have life in our bodies. But Christ's blood brings us life. We have life. And also, his death reveals to us the grace of God, declaring an ungodly person righteous in his sight. We are ungodly people if we don't know Christ. We're ungodly. And we can be declared right in God's presence. Because we're told this in Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. When you believe on Christ, you receive abundance of grace. Who is abundant? The Lord Jesus. Jesus is grace to us. We receive him, abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness. Because the Old Testament says this, doesn't he? In Jeremiah, Jehovah is our righteousness. Jehovah Shekendu, the Lord our righteousness. Not yours, not anyone else's, but Jesus. He is our righteousness. And it goes on, it says, they shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And that, in the original language, means you are reigning as king in life through Jesus. You do reign. You can reign because it's promised us. The death also procures blessing for us. 1st of all, there is forgiveness of sins. And some of us have been in a Bible study, been looking at the book of Acts. And in the first missionary journey, when Paul starts preaching, he says to the people in a synagogue, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And this morning, I'm telling you, there is forgiveness of sins because Christ has died and shed his blood. And doesn't matter what someone will say to you, doesn't matter who it is, even Satan saying, look, you're still doing things wrong, you're still sinning, you're a sinner. I'm sorry, but get lost, Satan. Get lost. Because through Christ I have forgiveness of sins. And if you believe on Christ, then your sins are forgiven. You can take it. And we have a new kind of life. People sometimes think that, oh, we know the Lord, we're all right, we can keep on doing wrong things. But I'm sorry, I was reading Jude the other day, verse 4, and this is what came to mind. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old obtained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. When they started preaching, people thought, oh, we can keep on doing what we like. And we can turn everything, even this wonderful message of grace to us, and we can keep on doing the wrong things. It doesn't say so here. It says ungodly men turning the grace of God. In other words, when you know Christ, you endeavor to keep on following Christ and doing what he wants. Because We know that if we've been baptized into Christ, then we have put on Christ and baptized into his death as a sign of what's happened to us. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a new kind of life. We walk in a new kind of life. We walk by the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit, and we live in the Spirit. And also, again, we come back to Galatians and seeing that this is the promise of the Holy Spirit given to us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Are you a Jew? If you are a Jew, I'm not being offended. I'm not being offensive to you. I'm just saying here, it talks about Gentiles. Us, the nations, other than God's people, as it were. And even us can receive the promise of the Spirit that comes through the blessing of Abraham. And we are this promise that he should be heir of the world, referring to Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed, but through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It was to his seed. And Paul says in Galatians that if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Your heirs. You are heirs to the inheritance that there is there. And finally, there is no condemnation to us. Do you find sometimes you feel guilty? Someone is pointing a finger at you, saying you're doing this wrong, and you feel that. Let me state this. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Because as I said before, Jesus has taken all your sins 2,000 years ago. All your sins. And he has accepted you. You are under the jurisdiction of God and Jesus now. There's no condemnation. And you can live and know a peace and a love of God that gives you hope. When you do things wrong and the Lord convicts you, you know what he's doing? He's showing you Jesus. Because this is how he teaches us. Reminded of a scripture where it says that, you know, don't worry or feel afraid when you are reproved by the Father. When you were children, your mums and dads told you you were wrong and punished you because they thought it was good. But the Father treats us as children for our profit by showing us the Lord Jesus. He reveals Christ. And we can say, yes. Oh, thank you, Father. Yes, that was wrong. I take Jesus and I thank you. I thank you for the cross that draws me back into your wonderful grace that I live in righteousness because of you. Just some things to think about this Christmas time that applies to each one of us. if we take Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And we're going to close with a wonderful hymn, "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord," or "To Defend His Cause." I hope.